This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dirties Daily, powered by Mokarum Law. Any personal injury, call day or night, 281-222-2222, or visit MokarumLawFirm.com.
You're getting me football horny, as Clint would say.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirties Daily.
Yeah, look, I felt like I've mentioned this before. We want to be competitive in the future and still remain competitive in the present. And one of the things with, you know, trading Kyle Tucker, we were able to secure 14 years of control with the players that we have. We feel like this is going to be big upside for us. And look, it's tough to lose Kyle Tucker for a year, but ultimately, you know, we feel pretty good about it. And we think it's going to be a good trade for both sides.
That's definitely the hope. That's Astro GM Dana Brown on MLB Network yesterday. He was asked literally about all of the pertinent topics, conversations that we have had. I think it was Brian Kinney who did the interview with Dana Brown.
And it was like rapid fire. It was kind of wild. Like, it was kind of impressive.
Yeah.
It was like 7 minutes, but like nine questions. Like, it was just boom, boom, boom.
Well, you know, Dana's had 4 months to prepare for them all.
Bring up good points.
You know, as all of these things have kind of, you know, transpired for the Astros and the moves that he's made, the ones that he hasn't, he should be well prepared. He did a good job. It was really, really good stuff. And, you know, I wanted to play that audio because I thought, you know, from the perspective of Astro fans, yeah, it sucks losing, you know, one of your best players. And then losing two of them in the same offseason, Alex Bregman being the other. And then, damn it, if they don't both win AL and NL Players of the Week the first couple weeks of the season, like, God, that just sucks. It's like, where was the hot start for Alex Bregman, you know, at any point in the last 9 years? But, you know, that's sports for you. That's the way it kind of breaks down. And I thought, like, it's an opportunity for a player like Cam Smith. It's an opportunity for a player like Isak Paredes. It's an opportunity for a player like Jeremy Pena and even Brendan Rodgers. They're all directly impacted by the Astros' moves this offseason and what they have shipped out and what they have brought in. Brendan Rodgers, pretty much a career utility guy, is now getting an opportunity to start every day at second base for a contending Astros ball club. It's an opportunity for Isak Paredes to really have a chance to, you know, do what he's been doing, you know, at the big league level, but have a resurgent in his career after a down year last season and do it for a team that is contending. It's a huge opportunity for a player like Jeremy Pena. going into his fourth year as a big leaguer. And Joe Espada had said something in the off, and you might have actually been here and part of this conversation. Joe Espada had something to say this offseason when asked about, like, hey, with Bregman being out, like, who steps up as that vocal leader, that clubhouse guy? And the first name out of Espada's mouth to MLB Network was Jeremy Peña. And ever since then, I've been very excited about Jeremy Peña, and you never know what a stage can do for a player, an opportunity can do for a player. When a window opens that allows somebody that maybe is ready to be a vocal leader or a leader by action on and off the field, you never know what that does for a guy, and I think Jeremy Peña is built for that. And while these guys hurt going out, it's opportunities for ones that either have existed here as Astros before, or the new guys, Christian Walker, who became a leader in Arizona the last couple of years. It's an opportunity for Isak Paredes to maybe, you know, spread his wings as that kind of a guy. That's how I look at it. And it just got me thinking of your question in a conversation that we had earlier in the show. Is this Astros team more interesting now? For all of those reasons, the answer again is yes.
Yeah, I was gonna say before you put the exclamation point on it there. I was gonna say that sounds pretty interesting. Those sound like some interesting storylines for this team, which is why I do think they're a lot more interesting now than they really have been throughout this run because of, well, maybe more questions. You hope it leads to the same amount of winning or close to the same amount of winning. We'll see, but certainly a lot of interesting storylines for this team. I think Dana Brown did a great job handling that question and all the questions thrown at him. But, you know, I think he's the face, if you will, covering for the ownership. I mean, even Montero, who probably doesn't deserve a spot in that bullpen, that's fine. They shipped him out, and the reports were because they want to stay below the luxury tax. You know, like Ryan Pressly, and I know a lot of Astro fans were down on Pressly, but that was really just a financial move as well, as getting rid of him to get some money off the books as well and helping to stay below the luxury tax. And so Kyle Tucker, similar, where we can argue whether it'd be smart to give him some sort of big contract or not. Someone's going to do it in the next few months, but it's another one of those moves where you just don't want to spend that much money on a player. So I think Dana Brown did the best he could in getting a return for him, and now giving these other guys this opportunity. Brendan Rodgers, if he can return to what he was in, what was that, 2021, he had a really good year. Cam Smith, now a slot's open for him, their top prospect, to get these reps at the big league level. Paredes fitting into that ballpark in Houston, you know, to get this stuff back, or this combination of things now in the lineup for Kyle Tucker. We'll see. The high end, if it works out, could be a really good move for the Astros when you factor in all these different parts compared to just the one. But I just think Dana Brown's going to be the one on the firing line, always going to have to answer these questions.
Definitely.
But I think he was just operating at the orders of the ownership, who's been trying to make sure they're not spending too much money. Where I said this throughout the offseason, I've always said this, the Astros, I think, are at a point now where, forget that luxury tax, they should be in that same ballpark, no pun intended, as the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, teams that spend the highest amount of money every year, because I think, based off of the past decade, that's the ballpark, again, to use that phrase, that the Astros have put themselves in.
713-572-4610. If you want to weigh in on that, you can call or text the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line. We got a text from a 979. Contending? WTF you talking about? I said contending. I didn't say World Series contending. I didn't say ALCS contending. I didn't even say division contending. But that's the interesting part. One of the interesting parts about this Astros ball club this year is, yet they're still expected to be a contender. And I haven't looked at like recent World Series odd boards, but I would imagine that the Astros are at the very least still very much inside a top 10 as having the best odds to go to the World Series and maybe even win a World Series. The Dodgers and the Yankees are clearly the top two favorites, and you would get no argument really from any other fan base. But having said that, like, what am I talking about? Like, what are you talking about? So you lose Bregman, you lose Tucker, you lose Verlander, you lose Pressly in an offseason, sure. But it's not like the Astros you know, sat by the wayside and did nothing to try and replace the production that you were losing in all of those guys. In fact, they did the opposite. So what I'm talking about is I'm not going to be one of those guys that, because, you know, as we're picking teams here, the opposition picks all of the best players and leaves me with like just some other dudes, but some pretty solid guys. I'm not going to take my ball and go home. I'm going to stick around and I'm going to play the game. That's what I'm talking about. Like, don't give me the crap about, like, what do you mean contenders? As in, like, you think this is a team that is closer to tearing down and not going to be competitive within a division that is maybe the most winnable in all of baseball? Like, show me something like, you know, that GIF, that meme with the stick figure that's like poking, you know, using the stick. It's like, do something.
do something.
Oh, yeah.
I'm waiting. Like, do something. Like, the Angels are one of the best teams in the, maybe the best team right now in the American League West.
Just until Trout gets hurt.
Yeah. But I mean, come on, like, Rangers, do something. Come on. Everybody's predicting them to have this resurgent type of year and get back to that World Series contending form that they were 2 years ago. Like, kiss my ass. Like, hey, don't tell me that the Astros aren't going to be competitive this year. Based on what?
Say it with your chest.
Based on what? Like,
I like this.
Look at all the players
at
the. Why didn't you just give the Rangers the division last year? Because they have all these high-priced players and all of these proven guys. Like, no, I'm not going to buy that at all. Like, you know, the Astros, they went out and paid a first baseman. They went out and got a third baseman for the present and the future. It's not at all. Like, I would. You know, like to see the outfield at this point in time. It's not at all like I would like to see the bullpen perform at the time, but they were 12 games in. Like, hey, you can miss me with that.
Bada bing, bada boom, Bajani.
Boom.
That was strong, baby. I like it.
Just saying, bro. Just saying.
I don't get the whole jumping ship. It's been 12 games. It hasn't even been 2% of the season, and they're one game under 500, or one win below being 500. If they won yesterday, you know, you're 500, you win a series on the road, you win a road trip, you feel a lot different. So I know people are upset based off of how yesterday's game went, but this was a team that was picked to win the division in Vegas preseason. So
we get all this little funk.
For sure, it's a contending team, and whatever we've seen through the first 12 games should not change your opinion. The lineup is not going to bat 199 for the entire season. I would put a lot of money on that.
Oh, mm-hmm. God, that would be very bad.
It would be record-setting, right? It's not going to happen. So you can't base the rest of the season off the first 12 games. However you felt before the season started, good or bad, you should still feel now. Your opinion should not change based off of 1.5% of the season.
No.
That's Luke Morrow. I'm Sean Bajani. For those of you wondering where Ron Hughley and Clint Sterner are, we work here as well. And we're doing so today with Tyler Milner, who is the show's badass producer, called The Drive. You were asking the question earlier, and that's why I wanted to bring it back around, because we got a lot of response from then to now. Are the Astros more interesting? And Ocho texted into the show earlier, and he says, they're boring to me now, even when they win, because they don't have an identity. And I just thought, one, you'll never talk Ocho back in off of the ledge. You'll never really change his mind. And that is... Ocho knows I'm joking, but I'm also being truthful when I say this, like playfully, like pointing out a fact that he is a troll, can be many times on many topics. And I think isn't being one on this one. You're just not going to change Ocho's mind. The Astros are going to have to change Ocho's mind. The Astros are going to have to, you know, find their identity this year. But 12 games in, when you lose a significant chunk of your nucleus that has existed for the better part of, you know, the last nine seasons, no Bregman, no Tucker, no Verlander now, and certainly no Ryan Presley, all very impactful, important pieces during the Astros' dynastic run. Like, when you lose that big of a nucleus, I think there has to be a grace period, a period of time in which the elder statesmen that have been here in lesser roles, maybe, and the new guys, Paredes and Christian Walker, and maybe a Hayden Wisniewski type, like just literally all of the new guys that have assumed much larger roles with this team and larger roles than they've ever maybe had in their career, respective to their positions, you have to allow them to kind of grow into that and to prove themselves, which takes me back to my Joe Espada point. In him pointing out one guy that he expects to take a big step as a leader in the clubhouse this year, in Jeremy Peña, dude, fourth year in, that's a young player. guy still very much in his mid-20s that has a lot of promise, great skill set, great athleticism. Somebody said the other day, multiple people have said it really, this team has zero energy, no juice. Do you watch Jeremy Pena play? Do you watch Cam Smith play? Do you watch any of these guys, like, you know, play with energy and passion? Like, you haven't seen a lot of it maybe through 12 games. There hadn't been a lot of reason to show it.
You remember when Cam Smith, a few weeks ago, he was basically asked. He did some in spring training on the base paths with a hit, whatever. And he really showed some emotion. He, like, jumped up. It was his first game at Minute Maid during spring training.
Mm-hmm.
And after getting that hit, and I think getting to third base, he jumped up, was showing a lot of motion. And they asked him about it after the game, and they were like, is that what we should expect from you in your career? And he was like, yeah, I'm a guy who's going to show it. Yeah. Like, I'm the guy who's going to get pumped up. I'm going to get amped up whenever good things happen for this club. So,
you know what he was doing 12 months ago? That, playing college baseball. You know what I mean? Like, and how excitable.
What am I doing with my life?
How excitable are, like, college baseball players? You know, I mean, they know how to celebrate. They know mm-hmm. how to kind of get it going. And so he brings that young, you know, energy. I just think it's sports fan negligent to discount so quickly individuals and certainly teams after slow starts. Did you not learn anything? It took till June 18th last year for the Astros to not be ass.
It's a loser-ass mindset, Bajani.
Yeah.
It's a severe case of a weak-ass loser mentality. That's all it is.
Yeah, 100%.
I think Reggie referenced it earlier, but obviously we know the slow start last year. They were 10-15 in April. 2 years ago, 14-12 in April. Year before that, 11-10. Year before that, 14-12. So, you know, we've seen this now 4 years in a row where they play 500 baseball in April, and right now they're 5-7. It's way too soon. I referenced yesterday that, you know, because I do gamble in the NFL, I pay attention to what Vegas says with their preseason projections. And then you look at the spreads each week, and the Jets are one of those teams last year where Vegas was very slow to adapt on, and the Jets were favored week after week. And you're wondering, how are the Jets still favored? Yeah, this team's terrible. But it's because they do so much work in the offseason, Vegas does, and they put out that win total that they don't move off of it based off of 1 or 2 weeks. And I would say the same thing with the Astros, that we talked about these different guys. You have the expectation for Christian Walker, whatever they've done in the past, and the, you know, Vegas even puts out their expectation that you don't just erase all of that in 12 games. I need a much larger sample size to ignore the bigger sample size of the last couple years or the plan this offseason, whatever. You don't just, after 12 games, pack it up and say, oh, well, you know, it's not going to work out. We were wrong. Paredes isn't going to fit this ballpark, or Christian Walker was a bad acquisition, whatever. We just need a lot more than 12 games. I'm one of those guys that it's early, right? So it's too early to freak out.
By the way, what was the win total preseason for the Jets last year? Do you remember?
Good question.
And why didn't they move off of it if it was so
hard? I know. They take a
sometimes
long time.
Sometimes blind faith is a BIA.
They need a larger sample size, you know, to change their opinion. I feel the same way about the Astros right now.
I definitely feel that way about the Astros. All right, coming up next, we'll take a trip around the NFL, and I don't know, it might sort of sound more like a soap opera. We'll explain why next.
Rock and roll, meow.
Sarah Jessica Parker, man, she's always done it for me.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
I got to give you some more material than the Sarah Jessica Parker.
She's pretty, man. I mean, you got good taste. You got good taste, Bajani.
I'm glad you agree with me. Appreciate that. Like, not that I needed validation, but I mean...
Sure, sure.
I know it's not like she's not the most popular amongst other people, which is fine. I'll have her all to myself. All to myself.
Damn right.
Little Sarah Jessica Parker, little Jennifer Aniston, little Jessica Biel.
We're just throwing that camo on and going cougar hunting, baby.
Yeah, I don't care if I'm stuck in the 90s, early 2000s.
Nah.
And they have to be named Jessica, apparently. Huh? Oh, no, you didn't say Jennifer. Okay, they have to be named with a J.
J's. It happens that way,
Sarah,
I guess.
Jessica.
Yeah. I never thought about it that way. Yeah. Maybe there is a thing. Oh, maybe there is a thing.
Yep, Joy Taylor, there's another one.
Joy Taylor. Well, that's yours.
Yeah, you're damn right it is.
I wouldn't kick
her
out of
bed
either.
Better get a job at Fox Sports then.
Womp, womp.
Someday.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So I told you, we're going to take a trip around the NFL, kind of. It's maybe more so like a soap opera. Like, what was that one? Was it called, not Days of Our Lives, not A Different World, but...
As the World Turns?
As the World Turns.
Damn, I'm kind of scared that I just hit that nail on the head.
You used to watch it.
I don't think I did, but I had it.
Well, like, subconsciously, you probably did. Growing up, like, maybe your parents had it on in the background.
Yeah,
like, my grandmother did. You know, I had to, unfortunately, go through all of those. Different World. Not A Different World. That was a good show. I chose to watch. Days of Our Lives, General Hospital, mm-hmm. all of that mess. I feel like that's what the NFL is during the offseason. It's just a lot of drama. And, you know, Deshaun Watson is usually embroiled in a good portion of it. And he did you guys see his recent Instagram post?
Oh, yeah.
Did you no, I don't
you
think
did
so.
Not?
No.
So Deshaun Watson, I think, what is it? Like, Tyler, help me out. In the last month or so, has gotten engaged and has put a lot of stuff out on social, you know, about that stuff. Like, he's feeling himself very much about his personal life nowadays, more so than anything he has to show for his professional life as a football player, because I don't know, in the last 2 years he's maybe got like 10 games to show for it, and it's been ass. Hadn't been
very
good.
Very ass. God, I'm so glad. I can't believe it took till 4:30 to get our first Bajani ass.
Well, I've subtly dropped them here and there, but I haven't felt like the passion for it yet like I did here. Watson, as you know, has been rehabbing his ruptured right Achilles tendon, not for the first time, but for the second time now. It's a diagnosis and a situation for him that's probably, if I was to guess, keep him out for all of this upcoming season, if I'm guessing. Deshaun Watson recently put out an Instagram post with a message to all of his critics, haters, doubters, if you will. Here it is.
You know, the performance comes when, you know, your back is against the wall. It comes better because you kind of got to really lock in. You know, you don't have anything pretty much to lose. And I feel like that's where I'm at right now. You know, everyone's doubting me. You know, everyone don't believe in me. Everyone don't think that I can get back to where I was. But I know and I believe the work that I put in, what I believe in myself, the peace that I've been, you know, channeling these last couple months. I know I'm going to be way better than before. I'm prepared. And I think before I wasn't prepared because, you know, I was kind of going with the flow of how the world was seeing me. But, you know, when you kind of get knocked down to the ground and you got to stand back up and walk through the rain, that brings out the real, another fire, another challenge, another grit that you have inside.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is really just mental. My mentality, the things that I got to deal with the outside and not taking everything.
It's more womp, womp, womp. I'm more interested, Tyler, in the soundtrack that's playing in the background.
Yeah.
It's really more so in like the forefront of the video. Maybe that's done that way on purpose. I don't know. But that's clearly a response to Browns owner Jimmy Haslam and his admission at the NFL annual owners meetings a week ago, when he called the acquisition, the trade that he made for Deshaun Watson a couple of years ago, quote, a big swing and miss.
I'm not going to let it take my joy.
Yeah. He's trying like hell. He's trying like hell, like almost to like convince himself. But who is he talking to other than himself, other than his camp? Because nobody in Cleveland, I have to imagine, like, I don't even say nobody, but like the general fan, not rooting for Deshaun Watson, I don't think.
Oh, my goodness.
Is he the most unlikable, like, professional athlete? Certainly one of them.
He's up there.
Going these
There's
days.
A lot. Yeah, he's up there for sure. Also, I want to know who is he literally talking to, because I haven't seen the video. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the back? What, it sounds like such like...
It's like he's walking around, you know, narrating, showing him, you know, kind of working out, walking around at the facility.
Yeah, it sounds like something like, you know, Russell. I would expect from Russell Wilson. It just, even listening to him recite those lines, it just sounded so like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Disingenuous?
Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah, just like, you know, that he practiced what he was going to say and the whole editing. They have the song in the background and like...
It's a production.
It is.
At its surface level,
yeah,
it is a production. And maybe there's nothing more to it than just that, as a PR-related response to somebody that is literally responsible for writing you checks every week during a season that doesn't believe in you anymore. You know, does not believe in you anymore, thinks you are going to be washed. And most people, I would say, and I'm pretty close to being one of them, like, that said, Deshaun's done. To what extent, I don't really know what that means for a lot of people, but Deshaun being done for me means I think he'll play NFL football again.
Yeah.
But two things. I don't think he's going to be very good, and I don't think he's going to be playing very much NFL football.
I'm not going to let it take my joy.
Not because of, you know, I'm anticipating future injury, but I don't know that he's really going to be able to sustain any level of long-term health, because you tell me the last professional athlete in any sport that has had not one, but two ruptured Achilles tendons that is trying to get back to that level of athleticism that Deshaun showed as a Houston Texan. He will never, I feel very confident in saying that, he will never be that version of himself again.
Oh, I'm with you. A different sport, but Mike Soroka is the first athlete that jumped in mind that tore his Achilles twice, pitcher, and essentially has ended his career. He was a good pitcher for the Braves before that. He's bounced around since with a bad ERA. Yeah, I don't think Deshaun's ever going to be a quarterback you can rely on as an NFL team or build around for your team moving forward. And could you imagine, not that you need to feel bad for Deshaun or defend him, but could you imagine if your boss called you while you're still working there, a big swing and a miss, and then you have to go to work every day with your knowing your boss is like, oh, this was a huge mistake hiring this guy, but you know, we're stuck with him. We can't do anything. He's under contract. It's like George Costanza in when he worked for Play Now in Seinfeld, and they couldn't fire him because they thought he was fake. You know, he was fake handicapped. That's why they hired him. So
that's
they
right.
Fire him.
Yeah, when he had the little roll around scooter.
Exactly. So they're trying to do all they can to get rid of him. It was so awkward. George knew, like, these people don't want me here, but I'm not quitting. They have to keep paying me, and this is now playing out with Deshaun, where he knows, like, oh man, even the Browns, who gave me this ridiculous contract that no one else would, even they don't want me anymore. But he's under contract. He's gonna, when he's healthy, he's gonna keep showing up, and we'll see where it goes.
Is he like Milton in Office Space?
I think the Browns wish he was. Just like, go down to the basement. We don't have to deal with you. See you again. And whenever this contract's up, we move on. But we don't want to deal with you.
My stapler.
Have you seen my stapler?
That's not a bad one.
Contrived is maybe another good word. Yes. I agree with a texter from the 832 in that lame video production for one Deshaun Watson. There were a couple of other NFL notes. Maybe we can get to them a little bit later. But coming up next, I got to ask you a question. If you hate this guy as much as Luke Morrow does, we'll explain.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Play next.
This is Drive Time, isn't it, back in Houston.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I love Kevin Harlan. Let me tell you something, man. He's
Somebody
awesome.
Somebody stop that man.
He's drunk. In for Ron Hughley, Clint Sterner. I'm Sean Bajani. He is Luke Morrow. T-Mill, still here doing his thing. Appreciate you if you're hitting us up on Twitch and YouTube, watching the show, interacting on the chat. Do it. Text us, 713-572-4610. What are you doing, Tyler? 572-4610.
You got to keep the YouTube viewers on their toes sometimes, you know?
Jim Adler, Texas Hammer text line. Holy smokes. Get a load of that, YouTube and Twitchers. That is the one and the only Tyler Milner. All right, so want to remind people, you can see Tyler do all that foolishness tomorrow as well, though not there, but still online, when the guys are going to be out at Spectators Bar and Grill, Sugarland, for the Sports Radio 610 Crawfish Circuit. Luke Morrow will be trying crawfish for just the second time in his life. I didn't even ask you where you had him the first time. So it really might be your first time if...
You won't be wearing gloves.
If you tell me that it was at like a disappointing establishment or, you know, outside of a grocery store or something like that, enjoy them. Enjoy them in the, you know, best capacity you can, minus the rubber gloves tomorrow. And you will thank me later. Now, when the first time you ate crawfish, quickly, did you eat the whole crawfish? Did you have the whole crawfish experience?
No, I didn't have the experience because, as I said, I don't like to work for my food, so I'd even do the whole...
Oh, you didn't even peel it the first
time? No, I'm not peeling it, no.
Oh, man. Well, I guess you're not sucking the head.
Say what now?
I knew I was going to draw a reaction out of one of you.
You got to suck the heads, brah. Got all the flavor in that
old... You do know that's a thing, right?
No, because I don't do that. I don't.
In all seriousness, it is. I
put it on the plate
heads.
And put it in front of me, and then I'll eat it.
I mean, I should have known because he won't peel it. He's definitely not gonna suck the head. But
yeah, that sounds enjoyable. I can't wait to go out to eat, drop a lot of money so I could suck the head of a fish.
It's where all the juices
are,
bro.
It's put a crazy. Put it on my plate so I can eat. Please and thank you.
Yeah. You know, I apologize, but I had to ask.
Craving this
you'll
now.
Have fun tomorrow. Damn. Make sure we get let Ron know to make sure Luke has the full crawfish experience tomorrow. Go out and see him, Spectators Bar and Grill in Sugarland. Now, Luke, as much as you maybe dislike the crawfish eating experience, is it greater or less than your disdain? Your non-enjoyment of this one notorious, infamous baseball spectator, a la fan that is very much known for, and I think has a Guinness Book of World Records, because God forbid anybody else try to do this or has the time to do this. We've all heard of a man named Zach Hample. He is world-renowned for his ability to just be at the right place at the right time and catch, if not steal, rob, or interfere with would-be home run balls. He's done it thousands and thousands of times. And he was in Tampa yesterday. I forget who they were playing. The Angels. Because the Angels are whooping their ass today. At least they were. Boy, I wonder if he's there today or if he's been banned. There was a rumor online that Zach Hample had been banned from Major League Baseball parks after what occurred yesterday. The Angels, I believe, beat the Rays. I don't know if it was extra innings or not. 4-3 was the final. And Hample happened to catch another home run ball. And he robbed an outfielder. I think it was in like left center field, the power alley.
Yeah.
He robbed the outfielder from catching the home run ball. But if you look at the video, and you can check Twitter for it. I believe Luke's put it out on his Twitter. I have it on mine. Somewhere on my timeline, Hample had his glove on top of the wall, not reaching out over the wall a la, who was a Yankee fan back in the day, World Series, right field, Jeffrey Mayer.
Sorry,
it wasn't a Jeffrey Mayer home run robbing attempt, but he stuck his glove out very much in the confines of his seating area. And caught the home run ball. And there was rumor that he was going to be banned or had been banned by Major League Baseball. I've since, in my research, found that to not be true. So he might have been there today. I wonder how close he was to catching that dramatic home run. You know, today, all five of them in the first five innings. Hit by the Angels.
He had plenty of chances.
But you hate this guy.
Yeah.
And I don't understand really why you hate this guy so much.
What's there to like? This guy stinks. First of all, anybody that brings any adult, he's going to be 48 this summer, first off. And he's going to ballparks is cool, but to go to chase home run balls and batting practice balls is ridiculous. Anyone who brings a glove, if you're 48 years old, like Hample's going to be, and you bring a glove with you to the ballpark, that's enough reason to get banned right there.
Thank you, Luke. Yeah. I co-sign the hell out of this.
Yeah.
Something we agree on, bro.
Chastised, yes. Banned, no.
It's ridiculous. But the worst part for Hample is the lengths he goes for these home run balls. There's plenty of videos of him like trampling over kids. It's not about you and your stupid, pointless Guinness Book world record.
What a loser.
He is. It's supposed to be, let these kids catch a home run or get a foul ball or even go scoop up the loose ball.
They haven't done the homework, though. He deserves it. He's done the analytics. He knows exactly where and at what time the ball's going to be hit to where it is. That's the legwork that he's put in. Give him his props.
I'll give him props for doing his homework. All good there. But it's also kind of like I always use the airplane example of you only hear about the crashes and not all the thousands of landings. Like we hear when Hample gets one, how often is he like at the ballpark and he doesn't catch one? Right, how often is he in left field and Aaron Judge homers to right field, you doofus? And this guy is the worst. There was a story when he was in Colorado, I think it was just 2 years ago, where he tried to go to an area he wasn't permitted because he didn't have the ticket. Then he put out a video complaining about Coors Field and how terrible it is, the Rockies. He put the usher on camera, like he was filming the usher as he was complaining to this guy. He put it out there on YouTube to lambaste him. And anyways, the Rockies put out a statement saying, "No, you can't. You didn't have a ticket. You're not supposed to go there. Like you have to follow the rules just like anyone else. You're not any more special." Also, the ushers also said he picked up a ball. He stole a ball that was dropped by a kid and kept it for himself. And he later put out a video and apologized. This guy is such a loser.
The stuff with the kids, like,
that's the whole
running
thing.
Over kids, getting in the way of that. Like, that's a tough look always. And I get, like, the hate, you know, for him. But this guy and your disdain for him got me thinking, like, when you go to ball games, whether it be basketball, football, baseball, like, whatever, spectator sport, like, it's the like most annoying type of fan, you know, at these events. You know, watching the basketball game with PC the other night, it was just us two in the lounge watching the Cougs in the national title game. And I watch a game probably like in the minority of most people. I watch it in like complete silence.
Yeah, me too.
I don't want to really talk to you, you know, while the game's going on. But PC's very different. PC's from New York. PC's a hockey fan, a boxing fan. He's very loud. You know, maybe you know, drops like every four-letter word possible and adds other letters onto them.
Be cautious with Creighton tonight.
Yeah, it's entertaining to some degree, but you know, when you go to a ball game, I would imagine back in the day, many of you saw that kind of a fan at baseball games. You probably still see that kind of fan at Yankee games out in the right field bleachers or hockey games, like especially if you got seats close to the glass and you're really trying to be heard, not just by the other patrons around you, but by the players on the ice. What's the most annoying fan at a respective sporting event for you?
It's a good question. I probably have to really think about it, but just off the top of my head, I'd say it's the loud, uninformed fan. So, like, I was at the national championship game Monday night.
This person's usually drunk, too, by the way, when I had him.
That's true. Those are the worst. If you're the sober one and you got the drunk guy next to you just yelling the whole time and slurring his words. But I was at the national championship game the other night, and I expected, like, you know, great basketball crowd. There was two dudes sitting in front of me where one had to ask the other what 1-1 is when it came to foul shooting. Two dudes sitting behind me where one had to ask the other one, hey, what's this 1-1? Why are they only shooting one foul shot? And why are you at the national championship game? But there was a guy next to me who was decked out in Florida gear, and he was cheering like the whole game, and he was making comments that I was like, oh, this guy knows basketball. He knows what he's talking about. Then he asked, when's Florida going to shoot free throws? And not in a snarky, like, we're getting screwed by the refs. Like, literally asking, how many fouls till we get to shoot foul shots? And, yeah, 7. And then 10 for 2. And then he asked, well, Houston started the game with the basketball. Why are they getting it to start the second half? Well, there's a jump ball in the first half. It's an alternating arrow in college basketball. And then there's a, after the two free throws, Houston got the foul and they called it technical and the Florida big man back-to-back, so Houston shot 4 foul shots.
Yeah.
He was freaking out. Wait a minute, why are they shooting 4 foul shots? You only get 2 on a foul.
This game is so zany.
The referees don't know what they're doing right now.
And I was like, why are you here in your Florida gear at the national championship game yelling the whole time, all 40 minutes, and you don't know the rules? Go home. So I think it's the loud, uninformed fans. That if you're yelling good stuff that applies, that's fine. You're at a sporting event. Do it. But the person that's yelling and doesn't know what they're talking about, that's very annoying.
Yeah, that's a strong candidate right there. And this guy, there might be some crossover here with my least favorite fan at a sporting event. Because like I said, most of the time these uninformed fools that are being loud and obnoxious are also drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong, people. You know me by now. Bajani, Luke, you've gotten to know me a little bit. Bajani, you've known me for years. If I'm at a Rockets, Astros, Texans game, I'm going to be drinking. I'm going to have myself a damn good time.
Yeah.
But these fools that go into public, whether it's a sporting event like we're talking about or otherwise, and get so drunk and obnoxious that you almost just feel embarrassed for them, like they're making an ass out of themselves that bad, those guys are the worst.
Yeah.
I hate it. And they, whenever they're right behind you especially, get the hell out
of
here.
I've never been, you know, like close to getting a foul ball or anything at a baseball game or having like a close player interaction at any sporting event, really, that I've attended as a fan. But I've come really close one time to being a very central figure in one of the worst things you can see at a sporting event, and that's fights in the stands.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. It was after a Houston Cougar loss in a conference championship game at Old Robertson Stadium, and it was one of Sumlin's last games, or maybe it was his last game, whatever it was, and I was just kind of feeling kind of bummed out that, man, you know, what are we going to do for a coach? We're going to lose this guy. You know, what's a football program going to look like? And as everybody's walking off the field, the alma mater starts, and I'm standing next to this guy decked out in Cougar red. And he's singing the alma mater, you know, and I'm just standing there kind of dejected and just, you know, leaning over the rail, watching all the players walk to the tunnel. And, you know, here comes Sumlin, and he looks over at me and he says, he's talking crap while he's singing the alma mater. And his problem was like, fake Cougar fans, y'all aren't real Cougar fans, and da da da. And he looked over at me and he's like, this guy don't even know the words to the alma mater. And I'm like, I'm not singing it. But then I turned to him like, almost on a dime, and I started singing.
Wait, is Sumlin that said that to
you? No. It's
a
loudmouth drunk fan.
Okay,
no, I was trying to, I was sulking over Sumlin.
Yeah, I got you.
And I immediately turned to this guy, and I sang the rest of the alma mater to him in his face. And he got really upset.
That's so petty, I love it.
He got really, well, you know, he asked for it.
No, he did. He did.
He got really upset and started talking crap. And my then girlfriend, but now wife, was right behind me. And he'd said something to make her mad. And then he started going at it with her.
That's when it gets like, real risky.
My wife doesn't let me forget this. And he was an older gentleman. But I apparently, and I had a few too. I had at one point said, I'll knock the dust off of you, old piece of crap. And then that's when everybody came and it was like, all right, yeah, break it up.
But Johnny went full the fell on my shirt, Tony Soprano, bada bing, bada boom, listen here, feller.
I was like, you know, he was just getting on people and then got onto me and then got onto my wife. And I'm like, you can't have this, man.
The guy is drunk.
He was drunk.
While still singing the alumni song the whole time while you're beating the crap out of him.
Yeah, I think thankfully it did not go to that point.
Headed to the slammer.
It was close.
By the way, you said you've never caught a foul ball before?
No.
Or a home run?
That surprises me.
Because you could pay Zach Hampel $1,500 plus travel expenses to go to a game with him.
No.
No.
Yep.
Oh, I thought you were going to. Well, that's.
Oh, my God.
It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I thought you were going to say you could pay this guy, he'll go to the game, he'll catch the ball for you.
And ship it to you.
It's probably a package. The Hample package. I'll catch you a foul ball. I'll autograph it and say, give you the classification. The foul ball, bottom of the second inning, count 3-2.
Good God. Please don't do that, folks.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, don't do that. You talk about a big waste of a money. I'd rather buy a fart in a jar. That's a thing. That's a thing. All right, coming up next, 5 o'clock. Bet you didn't know that, did you? We'll have, what do they call this? I call this hot leads. You call it 5 o'clock fire. It's next on The Drive.
You're stupid. And you're ugly, just like your mum.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.